was good. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that song this morning. Take your Bibles with us this morning to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 13 this morning. Lord has... My flesh is battling, but the Lord sure has been settling some things in my soul the last few moments. And I sure appreciate that. Romans chapter 13 this morning. Romans 13. I'm going to look at something this morning that we all have. I believe it's something that we all take for granted. Something that's money can't buy it. It's this thing about time. You ever think about time? Time's funny. When you're young, you don't think much about time, except time's real slow. The older we get, we think a lot about time, and time gets faster. And so we're going to look at time a little bit, and I appreciate Brother Dwayne them singing that song. Every hour, every day, every moment. Leaning on the Lord. We need the Lord. And so let's stand together this morning out of honor and reverence to the Word of God this morning. Romans chapter 13 this morning, beginning in verse number 11. Now, he's dealing prior to these verses, dealing with the thought of how we should treat our neighbor. And then he comes into verse number 11 and says, "And that, knowing the time." And that's the thought that's just sort of burning on my heart this morning. Knowing the time. Anybody know what time it is? Now we know what time it is by man's scale of what the clock says on the wall. It says knowing the time. Do you really know the time this morning? Our first church in Taylorsville had the privilege. It was a privilege. I can't think of the man's name right now. He'd been in a bad wreck and really just beaten up. And he lost his eyesight in that wreck, blind. Amazing man worked on it. He picked apples, blind. Had a beautiful orchard. And but he had a watch every Sunday. I can hear it even in my head now. His watch would say, "It's now 12 o'clock. I just kept on preaching, but he let me know it was 12 o'clock. Some of you understand that later. But knowing time. For us older folks, now you young folks, I heard it when I was your age and I didn't believe it either. You're going to hear it this morning and you're not going to listen to it either. But us older folks, Brother Ed and Miss Joanne celebrating 58 years. Flew by though, didn't it, Brother Ed? Full of ups and downs, ins and outs. Miss Joanne might say it feels like 158, I don't know. But... time. Every one of us woke up this morning with time. The day that we live in is so time-oriented. It's one of the things I enjoyed when we went to Peru. Nothing in Peru is time-oriented. Everything's on ish time. We're going to leave at 10 o'clock. It might be 12 o'clock before we can start moving. They don't get in a hurry for nothing. Here, we're so stressed because of time. But the Lord tells us some things about time. And again, he says here, "In that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in the rioting of drunkenness, not in the chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." But again, knowing the time. Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. God, I pray, Lord, that God, that you just help us this morning. Lord, I know, God, that we can hear these words, and God, that we can even talk about what we hear. But Lord, I pray, God, Lord, would you this morning speak to hearts? God, would you drill into the hearts of men? Lord, I know your word is powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to cut, it's able to go deeper than man could even begin to think, Lord, this morning. Lord, I pray, God, would you do that this morning in the hearts of your people? God, I know, Lord, there's probably some in our building this morning that are lost. Maybe in here, maybe in our children's churches, Lord, I don't know. But, Lord, I'm sure there's people here this morning that are lost. God, I pray, God, today would be the day, God, they would see the need, God, they would understand, Lord, what time it really is. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, they call upon your name and get saved today. And, Lord, there's others of us this morning that are saved, that God didn't need to seriously wake up and understand, Lord, that we're not playing a game. God, help us to make much of the time that you've given us. And, Lord, I pray this morning, God, most of all, that your will would be done. God, that you would have liberty, and God, that you would be praised and lifted up. And, Lord, we give you the glory for it all. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You be seated this morning. And again, most of us this morning, and even as we get older, it just comes to my mind. I've mentioned it before. In my home church, there was a man in our home church, good man, loved God, lived a good life, never really had any physical ailments. And one day, he had a farm over not far from us. And one day, he was out there working like he always did, and he failed. And when he fell, it busted him up pretty bad on his ribs and different things. And his body went into a spiral of problems. And from that moment till this a few weeks, months later, till the time that he really got to the place where he drew his last breath on this side, his life was just the reality. I'll never forget it. I remember going into that hospital room that day over there at our memorial, and went up there into the ICU, and there he laid, and I began talking with him, and his eyes began to just fill up with tears because, and again, this man was in his upper 70s, maybe even close to 80 years old, and his eyes began to well up with tears, and because the reality of time had just become real to him. He knew that his days were getting very short. He knew that his life was just about over on this side of eternity. Now, I know this morning that most of us this morning aren't pondering that thought of time, and I don't really want to dwell there, but the reality of the fact is that there is time. I don't know how much time you've got. You don't know how much time you've got. I don't know how much time you've got, but I know this morning that we're all have a time. There's a time to live, and there's going to be a time to die. And every one of us has got a date, a time that God has appointed that you and I are going to face death. Time. But I believe, again, and most of us, if probably not all of us, would look back in honesty at our lives. We don't give much thought about that until we get a little bit older and begin to think about time. I remember the time in my life when I come to that place where I realized I'd been out of school longer than I'd been in school. I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing. Because as we go through school, seems like it takes forever, doesn't it? But then I realized how quickly time had flown by. I guess time has been on my mind a lot this week because of my life and some things that's going on in my life. But God here gives us this thought this morning about time. He again says, in verse 11, knowing the time. What do you know about time this morning? Well, I set my watch. You know, not many people wear watches anymore. Everybody's got a cell phone. What time is it? Well, where's my phone? But time. Well, I got to be here. I got to be there. I got this. I got that. We have calendars. And some of them, like my calendars, I have calendars inside of calendars. Why? Because we got things planned. And James tells us over there that our life is like a vapor. And he talks about that plan. How do you know you're going to be here next week when you got this, 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 and this planned? We don't. But do we live our lives in such a way that we know the time and make much of the time that's given us? And I got to thinking about that thought of knowing the time. And how much do we know about time? And these are just simple little opening statements, but do you realize this morning that time is a gift of God? Do you realize the time that's so precious to you, you have no control of? So when we realize what time really is, that it is a gift of God, we should do more with our time than what we do. Not only is time a gift from God, but time is limited and should be used wisely. Again, I don't know how much time we have. We all plan on living a long life. But the reality is, not everybody lives a long life. I think I mentioned this morning in prayer time at 9:30, a young man that got saved at the back of the Foothills Youth Revival up in Yagville just about a month ago. They found him dead this week. Young man, mid-20s probably. I've said it and I'll say it again. I've been in more funerals than I care to even imagine, but I've buried them all from 0 to 100 and everything in between. Time is a gift of God, but time is very limited because, again, we don't know how much time we've got. Now, cell phones. Everybody, you know, I don't keep up with all the ins and outs like I used to, but I know one of the groups that sell cell phones and different stuff had that. They might still do it. Had that rollover minutes. If you didn't use it, you could roll it on over to the next month. That sounds like a great thing to me. Life isn't that way. There are no rollover minutes. The time that you have will be the time that you get, and that'll be the time you have something to do with that time. There'll be no rollover minutes. So time is a gift of God. Time is something that is limited and should be used wisely. And thirdly, this morning, time, as we know it, is just a prelude to eternity. Why? Because this is time really has nothing in comparison to what eternity is about, where there'll be no time. So time, God says, knowing the time. And again, time's funny. When we're young, we don't think much about it. When we're old, we think a lot about it. But time. What does God tell us here this morning? And we'll look at three things this morning quickly, and then the fourth one's really what's been on my heart this morning. Here in verse 11 again, it says that, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The first thing that God tells us this morning about time, he says not only we should know the time, but then he goes right back and he says, it's high time that we do something. What is that something? That's simply wake up. We have been asleep. We have slumbered in ourselves to the place. And this isn't just 2016. Here God is telling Paul writing here to the Romans, he's saying, it's time to wake up. And how far asleep have we come today? How far have we slipped into the apathy that time has quickly... Can you believe you're as old as you are? Well, preacher, I'm not but 10 years old. 10 years sure flew by, though. He says it's time to wake up. And God just didn't say that one time. We won't take time to turn there this morning, but God's got other wake-up calls. Three others, Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You see three other times that God tells us there's a something about waking up. Why? Because it's so easy to go to sleep. Some of you sleep now. I won't bother you, but... time. Why would God say it's high time? Wake up. Because time is what God has given us. Time is a gift. Time is something that is been given to you and I to do something with. I have never, last night, there was almost a murder at my house. I was about to kill a dog. I was trying to sleep and it didn't want to sleep. I have never, now maybe you do, but I have never been one. My brother was this way. My son is this way. Man, if I slept till 8 o'clock, that was an oddity. I was early to bed, early to rise. My son, especially when he was sleeping in the basement where it stayed dark all the time, I believe he could have slept till noon, 1, 2 o'clock. But it's not per se the fact that you're laying in a bed or a recliner or on the couch with your eyes closed, but you've been given a life, I've been given a life that God has given me to do something with. And just because your eyes are open and just because you're in movement doesn't mean you're awake spiritually. And God says, wake up. It's time. And church, can we not see it's time? If there's ever been a time, is it not now? We talk about all these problems. We talk about all that's going on. But where's the church? Where's the power? We talk about God and His power. We talk about how wonderful and how strong and how mighty. And if that's what we say God is, where's He at? Why? Because we're asleep. We're being lulled through our lives, and before we know it, 70, 80 years, if you get to live that long, has passed us by. I've had privilege, I guess would be the word to use, to be beside of many that have passed on into eternity. I've sat there with families, and I've sat there with loved ones, and I've sat there and held the hands as they took their last breath. And I've sat there and listened to them say, preacher, sure wish I'd done more. You don't wait till you're laying on your deathbed to wish you did more. It should be in our heart's desire this morning because that God has given us a gift, that God has put us in a time, place of this. This is the time. This is right now. Right now is your time. Amen. Now listen, I played sports back in elementary and high school days. Sometimes I got to play. Sometimes I got to sit on the bench. There's nobody being benched right now. Every one of us this morning has been given time to be busy about the Lord's work. Amen. Every one of us this morning, if you're here and you're lost, God has given you an opportunity today to get saved. Amen. Time. God says it's time to wake up. What else does He say about this time? Verse 11 again, He says that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. So he's talking to believers, but I don't want to just leave out the unbelievers. But here he's talking to believers. Well, preacher, it sounds like you can lose your salvation. And I've had people try to say that there, that, you know, well, you know, Paul said to work out your salvation. And he says there to wake up. Now our salvation is nearer than we believe. And it's not salvation as far as accepting Christ. It's not that personal indwelling of the Holy Ghost, but what we see here is the fact that Christ is coming. Amen. You're going to meet the Lord soon. You better get ready. But not only did he say wake up, but look what else he says. He says in verse number 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Then he goes on to say, and let me get to these other two and so I can hit the last one a little bit in length. He says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. So he's saying, wake up. And physically, when we wake up, when you get out of bed in the morning, your eyes is all matted up, slobber all down your face. You've drooled all over the pillow and got boogers in your eyes. And you go in there and you turn the coffee pot on, or you hope your wife set the timer right the night before and it's on by itself and it's ready for you. Hello, yeah. You go in there in the bathroom and you turn the lights on and you put your hands under the faucet and you begin to wash off your face and get yourself woke up. Why? Because there's some things on there. You don't want to take it out into the world with you. You don't want to go to work wearing your jammers. And God says in our spiritual sense, it's time to wake up. And there's things in our lives while we've slept that's accumulated. some things that need to be cast off. That's not just for certain people. That's all of us this morning. We take a bath to get the dirt off, the smell off. God's saying here, it's time to wake up. It's time to cast some things off. But I'm glad when God tells us to cast something off, He also says to put something on. Verse 12, He says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. See, church, it's time to realize that God has put us here for a reason. We're here to be that light, to be that salt to this world. God has put you at a workplace. God has put you at a shopping center. God has put you in a home. God has put you around people to be that light bearer. And God says, wake up and realize you've got a job to do. Wake up. See, I believe that we've got so lulled to sleep that we don't even hear the bells going off. Now, if there was a storm brewing, if there was a, and technology's got so big now, you know, you don't even have to have much to get all the, you know, if there was a tornado coming our way, most people that's got smartphones for dumb people, your phone would begin to buzz, letting you know, hey, there's danger coming. Give you a warning, give you an idea to begin to wake up and realize. I bought my mom and daddy, because they don't have a lot of technology things there. A few years ago, I bought my daddy one of those weather radios. And when a storm is in that area, that thing goes off and you're not going to sleep through that thing. It will wake you up. But why aren't we awake this morning? Why are we not hearing the cry? Why are we not hearing the alarm that something's going on? There's something that needs to be attended to. What if the fireman slept through the fire whistle? What if the paramedics didn't come when they were called? Then, Christian, how much more has God given us time to be busy about doing something? He said, you've got to get up. You've got to take these things off. And you need to put on what I've given you. So, He says, put on the armor of light. And then verse 13 says, let us walk honestly as in the day. How do you walk? See, that's amazing to me. We're just talking about eternity. That's all. We're not talking about losing your job. We're not talking about losing your home. We're just talking about where you are going to spend eternity. Is that not more serious than your job? Is that not more serious than the things that we call precious to us? And He tells us to wake up, to cast off, to put on. And then He tells us to walk. How? Honestly. As in the what? The day. We need to walk. And listen, I'm not saying this morning this preacher's perfect, because he's not. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect in this world, because you're not. But we should walk in a way that people can see it's daytime, there's light, there's hope, there's something to have. And here He's telling us there's a way that we should walk as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. How do we walk? But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You realize if you're saved this morning, I'm not going to have you raise your hand. Have you lost consciousness to the fact that if you're saved this morning, that the Lord Jesus Christ lives inside of you? Everywhere I go, I take Him with me. Everything that I see, I take Him with me. Everything I hear, I take Him with me. Everything I say, He's right there. wake up and realize as we walk through this world, as we go day by day, it is Christ that lives inside of us, if you're saved. So again, he says, knowing the time. And I asked you a minute ago what time it was. And it's 12 o'clock. If my blind friend was here, his clock would be going, it's now 12 o'clock. It's not time to quit right yet. I'm about done. But he's telling us as we go through this life, again, time is a gift of God. Nobody in here can look at the bottom of their foot and there's an expiration date. We don't know how long God's given us. We should wake up every day. I got a little saying, it's nothing new. I want to preach as a dying man, or dying man to dying men. We need to realize that every day is one less day we're going to have. If God lets you get up again tomorrow, it's another opportunity that's going to soon pass because that day is going to come to an end. And how quickly they come. And I know, young people, you don't get a hold of it. You will. God lets you live long enough. So what time is it? In God's calendar, in God's clock, what time is it? It's just about going home time. Well, preacher, I've heard that all my life. Well, that's true, but guess what? The truth of that is that it is closer than it's ever been. But do we wake up to the fact? Does it ponder in our head? Hey, I got to thinking about it this week in a lot of different grander ways. And I think, man, I can't wait till this thing's over. I'm tired of this race. I'm tired of this walk. And then that's the flesh of me talking. As excited as I am, and I'm going to preach just a little bit about this, but if the Lord come back today, I'm a winner. If I die today, I'm a winner. Why? Because Christ lives within me. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm saved. I have eternal life. I don't have to worry about hell. But does it not bother me that most people that I might know, if time did stop today, it's bad for them. On this side of the scale, as much as it is good for me, it's just 180 degrees back the other way for them in the bad. Where is that thought in my mind? Is that time? Oh, I got to do this, and this has got to get done. And my daddy got a saying, if it don't get done today, it won't matter in 100 years. Is that not true? Yeah. We're going to die. And I'm not saying quit work. I'm not saying don't care. I'm just saying this morning, the reality of the fact is, everything that we count so priceless, that house that I'm working hard on to pay off, got to have a place to live. So do you. One day, I'm hoping ours is going to be real soon. I'm going to make the last payment. I remember the day, Miss Aretha, that we took the last payment for this place. It was a big day in my mind. We went to the bank the last time to write that check out. They sent it. It's paid in full. But you know what? As exciting as that is, there's a possibility that if God doesn't come back in 1,000 years, and he might not, I don't know. This place here could be bulldozed down and be a K&W sitting right here. Gas station, a beer joint. Everything that we counted so priceless, everything that we strive, and I still remember church. I remember that we got up here and I began to tell you how we needed to pay this building off, and some of you thought I was insane. And probably still do think I'm insane, but I mean, that was a big old number. But God did it. But I'm saying that, and that is wonderful, and that was something to work for, but that's not the main thing. God didn't leave me here to pay a building off. That's not the gift of time that God has given me. But we need to wake up. We need to cast off. We need to put on. But last of all, when it comes to the fact knowing the time, I want you to understand this morning that the next thing on God's calendar concerning the church, it doesn't matter who's going to be the president. It doesn't matter if our economy's good or our economy's bad. Guess what? Everybody says, well, where's America in the book of Revelation? It's not there. God didn't tell anything about us. What does that mean, preacher? He might not be here. Oh, but we're the top country in the world. So was Rome in their day. Every nation goeth up, every nation cometh down. But what time is it, knowing the time? Paul said it this way. He knew his departure was at hand. This morning, would God rattle us enough this morning to wake me up to the place that I would realize this morning the gift of time, the gift that God has given me, that I would cast off all this worldliness that's on me, put on that armor of light, walk with Him as I go through this world, knowing that at any moment, and listen to me, young person, listen to me. Mom and Daddy, listen to me. Any moment, you could be stepping out into eternity. Any moment. Well, preacher, I'm going to live a long life. Who said? Show me how you can promise me that. I don't want this to be a downer, but you might be sitting here right now and have a tumor inside of you that's eating your life. I don't wish that for nobody. But the reality of it is, it could be. You might leave here this morning and drive out of here on Jake Alexander and do everything right, obeying the law, driving the right speed, driving in the right lanes, turning your turn signals on, stopping when you're supposed to stop. And something runs slap over you and you step out into eternity. That might be your day. Do you wake up? Do you understand this morning about time? Do you understand? Well, preacher, how do you deal with that? Every day casting off what God doesn't want me to have, putting on what God has given me, and walking not with this world, I'm walking with Christ. So what time is it? Knowing the time, that's what he says. It's time for his coming. Paul again says it this way. 2 Timothy chapter 4, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What time is it, preacher? It's going home time. That's what's been yearning inside of this old boy. That's what's just been pondering in my mind in these last days, that God, any day you could be coming home. Are you ready to go home? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch. I don't mean this in a bad way. I remember, I'm trying to think how old I was, probably 10, 12 years old. The big news of that little area of time was, I think it was a Russian satellite was falling. Anybody remember that? They didn't know where it was going to land. They had no idea where this thing could hit. I kid you not. They knew sort of the timing of when they thought it would break out of gravity or come back into gravity and come back into the Earth's atmosphere. They knew. Hey, girls, how about y'all listening? Would you? You listening to me? Okay. They didn't know when it was going to fall. They didn't know when it was going to hit. And I remember as a young boy, we were camping out up at our pond, me and my brother and a couple other guys. And I remember laying there that night, looking up into the sky, thinking, what if that thing hits right here? What, you know, If tomorrow morning you wake up and there's news all over the internet, news all over the TV, hey, scientists have spotted a huge asteroid going to hit the earth. You know what you'd start doing? You'd start paying attention. It would grab your thought pattern. Can I tell you something bigger than a meteor is getting ready to come? And his name's Jesus. And you need to be ready. Revelation chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Revelation 22:10 says, "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse number 7, "So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 12 through 13, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. What's he saying? It's coming. That time is at hand. He says, knowing the time. Today could be that day. Are you looking? Are we living such a life that we would go through our life every day? I lose sight of it. I get so busy with problems. I get so busy. I got to take care of this and I got to take care of that, that sometimes it slips my mind that, hey, the day could be the day. He says, wake up. Cast off. Put on. I close with these verses. Most of you know them. Look over in 1 Thessalonians. 13, he says, knowing the time. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." We hear those words. We know those words. But friend, this morning, are we awake enough to realize that right now that could come true? If that came true right now, would you be caught up? Not trying to get people to doubt. I'm just saying, church, let's wake up. Let's savor what little bit of time. What is, if you live, everybody thinks, you know, if you lived 100 years, and I don't want to. My pastor says God will probably let me live that long just because I don't want to live that long. But if you lived 100 years, boy, that sounds like a long time, doesn't it? I've met some people that lived that long, met people that lived longer than that. Every one of them said the same thing, short. But if you lived 100 years on this side, what would that be in the scope of eternity? It wouldn't even be one little grain of sand on the seashore. What's mine? I got to do this. No, it's a gift of God. It ought to be dealt with the reality of doing something with that time. This morning, knowing the time. Do you know what time it is? You realize, and while we've sat here for the last hour and 15 minutes, hundreds of people have stepped out into eternity. I don't know what the death clock's up to. I used to keep up with that. How many people died every second on average? Well, guess what, preacher? It wasn't me. I'm glad. But have we done anything for Jesus in the 47 years that God's given me? I will stand before God and give an account. What do you think I'm going to give an account of? Well, here's my tax records, Lord, and here's my bank account, and here's my insurance policies. Is that what God's going to give an account of what I am? No, He's going to look at my life. This is the life I gave you. You were born May 24th, 1969. You got saved, I don't remember the exact date, but I was 13 years old, Vacation Bible School. What have you done from that point to whatever day it is that I meet Him? That's what I will give an account for. But I wonder this morning again why God would say, wake up. Because most of us this morning don't ponder it. We don't fashion it. We don't count the reality of it. We've been doing something this week that I would have never guessed. I was talking to Hannah, and she was holding her little one, and she was pulling her head piece off. And I told her, I said, I remember Carrie doing that. Put a hair bow on her head, and first thing she would do is grab it and rip out hair. They didn't have those little bow things back when we were raising babies, I guess. But this week I saw her not with a little girl with hair bow, but I saw her wearing a wedding dress. Boy, where's time? That quick. I'm trying to say, church, it's time to wake up. Realize that time is so short. If we don't do something for God while we can, we're going to stand before God not doing anything. Wake up. Cast off. Put on. Why? Because the Lord's coming. Are you ready? Listen to me. Musicians are coming. You might be here this morning. You might be thinking, I'm not ready to meet God. You still got time. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the Lord while He is near. Better do business with God. Let's stand together this morning. Our heads are bowed.